Zion on the Bay. So we're holding on Ayin Zion on the Bays at the top of that emission. Okay, so this parak has been, this parak started by talking about the Toda, so now the previous Mishnah talked about the amount of flour that goes into the lechem that comes with the Toda, and now we're going to continue more details about how it's brought. So the Mishnah says, Mikulam, from all, you have four types of bread that come with the Toda. You have three types of masa and one type of chametz. From all of them, the owner would take one out of every ten, one out of every ten, and give it as truma to the kohen. Shenema, as the pasuk says, the hikru v'menu echad mikol korban truma Hashem. As the pasuk says, that he should offer one out of every korban, meaning every type of baked bread, every type of four types of bread, truma Hashem. And when it says echad, it says that he should give one, means shelo yitzor parus. It means he can't take a broken one and give it to the kohen. Now we've learned before, and we're going to learn later on in the parak, that if they get broken early, too early in the process, then anyway the korban is possible. If they're broken before the animal shechted, then it's no good, and if it's broken between the shechta and the zrika, then it's also no good. So here we're talking about that it's broken after the zrika to find the korban is kosher, but you still can't take that broken one and give it to the kohen. You have to take the whole one and give it to him, and then you and your family and whoever else you invite will eat the broken one.
But it's considered a maser? If it's taken from a broken...
No, that's the point. In other words, you have 10 whole ones. You have 10 whole ones, let's say, of chalos, 10 whole rikikin, etc. Then you have one of them broke, one of the chalos, let's say, or one of the rikikin broke after the zrika. No problem. Just take a different one and give it to the kohen, and that broken one, together with the other eight intact ones, will be the ones that you eat. Okay. Then it says, Mikol Korban, the pasuk says you can take one out of every Korban, meaning from that we learn, Shiyu Kol HaKorbanos Shalom. They all have to be equal. They all have to have the same number, of chalas. You can't say, well, there's going to be total 40 chalas, so I can do, let's say, 5 of one kind, 15 of another, etc. Shalom Yisrael Mikorban Achaveri, because you can't have that you're taking from one Korban on behalf of another one. Which means, in other words, So Rashi Ksav Yad on the bottom explains that it means. If let's say you have 5 of one type and 15 of another type, and you're supposed to be taking one out of every 10 and giving them to the kohen, so it comes out that the one you're giving, so one of the ones you're giving is, for example, on behalf of itself as well as on behalf of itself, if it's 5 and 5 from the other one, and then vice versa. And you can't have that. So Rashi on the top, you have to give one only, right, so therefore that's why they all have to be exactly 10 each. And we learned at the end of the previous parak, if you base them as a smaller number of loaves, but yeah, but you have to have the one out of 10 available to give to the cousin. Rashi on the top of it here says a little bit different, that it means also that you can't, for example, take 2 from one type and 0 from the other type and give them to the cousin. It has to be one of each type. Okay. Then it says, Makoyin azorik azdama shlomim loyir. The pasuk says that these four chalas, together with the relevant parts of the korban, go to the korban who sprinkles the blood of the shlomim, to the kohen who sprinkles the blood of the shlomim, not just that kohen, as we've learned before, means any kohen who's capable of doing the avodah. Well, any kohen who's from that day's base of, who's capable of doing the avodah. Ashan, Nechalabailim, and the rest of the bread and the rest of the korban is eaten by the owners. So there's a famous verse, by the way, I don't remember, I believe it might be that I'm bad, I don't remember, says the reason why you have a toda. A toda is basically a type of shlomim. But a regular shlomim you can eat for 2 days. You have the day that you bring the korban, and the next day a toda has to be eaten only on the day that it's brought. So one idea is, I believe that Ramban says this, is this way. It means that you have a huge amount of meat and you have a huge amount of bread to eat. Inevitably, you and your immediate family are not going to be able to eat all of it. Necessarily, you're going to have to make a surah taida. You're going to have to make a big surah and invite a lot of people. And then you'll tell them about the nest that happened that caused you to bring the taida. And that way it'll make that the nest will be publicized. That's one idea. I don't remember if it's the Ramban, but if it is, then whichever one it is, it would be on the Sukkim in Parshas Tzav where it describes the korban taida. There's a different verse also that they say on it. That's the idea we say in davening. So like every day there's a new nest. So you can't be eating yesterday's korban because today there's a new nest. Okay. All right. So the Gemara starts with Tana Rabbanan. When we said in the mission of the Hikru, this Braita is gonna give more details about what we said in the Mishnah. First of all, when it says the Hikru is Mimem, when it says you should offer from it. But that means mina mechuber. It means that it all has to be connected. So Rashi Ksav Yad on the bottom says what that means is they all have to be in one cave. When you take out the one of each type, they have to be all in one cave. Well, it's mimenu, basically. It's mimenu. It has to be minamachobo. Tosfos argues with that. Tosfos says it doesn't have to necessarily be in a cave. They just have to be next to each other. They just have to be what's called minamukha, like by Truma. Okay. Anyway, but that's what we learn from mimenu. When it says echad, again, as I said in our Mishnah Shalom Yusuf Parut, you can't take a broken one and give it to the client. It just has to be together.
Together.
Okay. Echad means, again, as our Mishnah said, Shalom Yusuf Parut, you can't take a broken one to give to the client. Mikol Korban, again, means, as we said in the Mishnah, Shira Kol HaKorban HaShavet, all four types of challah have to be the same in number. Shalom Yusuf HaKorban HaKorban, right? And you're not taking from one type on behalf of another one. So again, you have to have 10 of each type, so that you're taking 1 out of 10, and that way that one represents only that type and nothing of the other one. Yeah. Okay. Now, when it says Truma Lashem, so the fault is because you take a Truma for Hashem, Eini Adem, Yikamahi. Now, you don't know. From those words, you don't know how much should it be. How many Chalas of each type do you have to have that you're giving one to, you know, you have to give one to the Kohen, but 1 out of how many? 1 out of 5, 1 out of 10, etc. Have any done? So now we have to start doubting. Now we have to start learning by Zeta Shama. Nema kan truma, nema b'truma smaiser truma. Here it describes it as truma lashen. Truma smaiser, what the levy takes out, 10%, what the levy takes out from the maiser vision. This is where we determine the amount of loads, right? And from that, automatically comes the amount that we give to the client, right? The truma smaiser is also called truma. What the levy gives 10% to the Kohen. Malahal and Echad Me'asara, just like over there, is 10%, 1 out of 10. Afkan Echad Me'asara. Okay, continues the Braith. So, oi, kloch l'derechu. Maybe not. Maybe go in a different direction. Nema kan truma v'nema b'bikurim truma. Bikurim are also called truma. Because you have a pasuk in Parashat Yireh.
It's not the usual name,
but nevertheless, Bikurim can be called Truma. You have a pasuk in Parashat Yireh that says, that mentions a number of different korbanot that you're not allowed to eat outside of Yerushalayim, and one of them is Usrumas Yodecha, and the Gemara explains elsewhere that Srumas Yodecha means Bikurim, that they can only be eaten in Yerushalayim.
Because we learned that you have a number of other
korbanos mentioned in the Pesukim, and basically Trumas Yodecha means Bikurim because there's nothing else that it could mean. It can't mean regular Trumas by elimination, basically. Okay. So, in that case, Malahalam Ein Lashir, so you should argue in that case. Bikurim, there's no specific Shir, we say every day, and then we say every day in morning brach. Eved Varam Shein Lam Shir, Hapeya Va Bikurim. Midrabbanon, you have a Shir of Bikurim, you're supposed to give 1 out of 60. Of the particular type of produce, of the particular type of that particular of the shiras aminim. But midarai, so that you can give one fruit of that type in your mercy.
So you have two ways.
You could learn from Trumas Meister and say 10%. You could learn from Bikurim and say that it means just a tiny amount. Afkanen Moshir said the same thing over here. You should say maybe it has no shiras. Well, nido l'mi doyna. Well, says the Braisa, we have to consider which one is last metoda more similar to. Donin truma she'en achareya truma, mit truma she'en achareya truma. Logically, we should learn a truma which there's no other truma after it from another one where there's no truma after it. Namely, by these last metoda, once you take the truma, once you take
one truma,
listen, by the last metoda, you give the one of each type to the kohen. After that, there's nothing else from those breads that you're giving to the kohen. There's no later truma that you have to give to the kohen. As opposed to when it comes to bikurim, you're giving Bikurim, but later on, you still have, later on, when the produce ripens and you harvest it, you're going to have Truma and Truma Smaiser, and so on and so forth. So that's the Truma Shiyesh Achareya Truma. Bikurim, it is a Truma, fine, but there is going to be a later Truma. It's not the final Truma. Whereas Truma Smaiser is the final one, at least as far as the Levi is concerned, because once the Levi gives Truma Smaiser, that's it. The remainder he can eat, the remainder is stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And similarly, over here, with the you give 10% to the Kohen. Yeah. Same thing over here with the Lach Meitoda. The Donin Truma, She'en Achareya Truma, Mitruma, She'en Achareya Truma. We're going to learn the final Truma from the final Truma. V'ayachichu Bikurim, She'yesh Achareya Truma. Don't learn from Bikurim, because after all, Bikurim are not the last thing. You have another Truma later on. In fact, Tosus points out, by that week, the Gemara didn't even bring up the possibility that you could learn from regular Truma. Regular Truma also, there's no Shiur Minasarda. But you have the same consideration. After regular Truma, you still have Truma Smaiser. It's not the final one, right? Okay. Still, the Braita says, oi kloch l'derechu, nevertheless, though, still, you can take it in another direction. There's another reason maybe to learn from Bikurim rather than from Truma Smaiser. Donin Truma Hanachelas Mokam Kaddish, Mitruma Hanachelas Mokam Kaddish. Maybe we should be learning the Truma of Lachmei Torah, which has to be eaten in a holy place, meaning in Yerushalayim. You should learn.
And
be Kurim. What we're saying. So, Truma, as in the 2% that you give to the Kohen, we're not even dealing with. Because as far as we're concerned, that's basically the same thing that, well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have any advantage over any of the other ones. We're dealing with, you can learn Lachmei Torah from Bikurim, or you can learn it from Trumas Meister. We're saying you learn it from Trumas Meister, and we just said the reason is because Trumas Meister is the last Truma, and Trumas Lachmei Torah is also the last Truma. But the problem with that is, Oy Kloch Adenachlu, done in Truma, consider where they can be eaten. Done in Truma and Achelus Mokim Kaddish, learn a Truma which can only be eaten in the holy place of Yerushalayim, namely Lachmei Torah, Mitruma and Achelus Mokim Kaddish. Maybe you should be learning that from Bikurim, where it also has in common that Bikurim can be eaten only in Yerushalayim. Valtachiach Trumas Meister, and Achelus Bechol Mokim. What are you thinking? To learn from Trumas Meister, where Trumas Meister can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So ultimately, we have, if we're just talking about similarities, you could argue there are just as many, you have similarities on the one hand between the Torah and Trumas Meister, but you also have similarities between Lachmei Torah and Bikurim. So therefore, you don't know which way to go. Therefore, we need a process. Talmud Lema, Mimenu Truma Lashem, Ochtiv, Trumas Meister, Mimenu Truma, Lezera Shava. By both of them, it doesn't just say the word Truma, it says the word Mimenu. So therefore, that gives us a secondary Zeta Shava. So therefore, in other words, so now we have that we know that we're not just learning from something that's called Truma, we're learning from something that it actually says Mimenu. Now, later on the Omud, actually, we have something else that we're... It says Mimenu by both of them. It says by Lachmei Torah, it says the Hikru Mimenu Echa Mikor Korgon. By Trumas Meister, it says Varemesh Mimenu Trumas Hashem.
There
we know it's Truma, so that's it. Bikurim doesn't say the word Mimenu. However, with that said, though, later on the Omud, we have something else that the Gemara mentions another possibility, what we could think to learn from, something else where it also doesn't say Chala, where it also doesn't say Mimenu. So you have a different girsa over here, that the thing is not we're learning from Mimenu at this point, we're learning from the fact that it's called Trumas Hashem, or Truma Lashem, the fact that it uses the word Lashem in it. So therefore, it's a Bikurim are out. Not because Mimenu, because by both of them it says Lashem. That which is why later on the Omer, the Gemara is going to ask, maybe Chala, because Chala it also says Al Hashem.
So why do we throw Mimenu?
Because then there wouldn't be room for the question later from Chala, because there's no Mimenu by Chala.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. 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 Fine. Okay, so meanwhile though, let's continue the Braisa. It's a long Braisa, we're going to only get to it, it's going to take up most of the Omer. Okay, so now, next thing, we know now, we've established that the part that's given to the Kohen is one out of every 10 of each of the Chalas. Now the next thing we have to figure out, now we have to figure out what is the size of each of the Chalas. So now we said like this, in the first Mishnah of the Perek, we said that you have like this, you start with 20 Esroinim of flour. You start with 20 asuranim of flour, which equals, in later measurements, 30 kavim. You split it. Half of it goes towards the chomet, and half of it goes towards the masa, but the chomet consists of only one type, and the masa consists of three types, and therefore you end up with much larger loaves for the chomet than for the masa. But now we have to figure out, the Braita is going to tell us, how do we know what these sizes are? How do we know that the chomet ones are supposed to be one asuranim per loaf, and the masa ones are supposed to be a third of an asuranim? Because that's how it is. You have a total amount of 20 isorin of flour that you bring with the Torah, and you divide it. 10 of it goes towards making the 10 challah, the 10 chomet loaves, and the other 10 goes towards making the 30 masa loaves.
You need to make chomet. Yes. Okay. Well, you can say it goes 20.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. So that's what we have to figure out, what's the amount and how we know what goes to what. Yeah. Okay. So, hareni dum. So again, let's start figuring it out. Nema kan lechem, benema la'alem b'shtei alechem lechem. These are described as lechem. The shtel, and first we're going to talk about the chametz ones. We'll deal with the matzah ones afterwards. First we're dealing with the chametz ones, where we said the chametz ones consist of 10 loaves. We just established that we know 10 loaves, because Truma Lashem. Now we have to figure out, how do we know how large each of these loaves is? We're going to learn from the shtel lechem, which are also chametz. The shtel lechem that are brought on Shavuot. Now the shtei lechem, the pasuk explicitly described. It says you have two esroinim that are made into two chalas, which means each loaf is one esarim. Afkan Isorin Lahala. So therefore, over here also, by the Chometz loaves for the Torah, it also has to be one Isorin per loaf. Okay, again, problem with that is, Oy Kloch Lederachzu, maybe we should learn differently. Maybe instead of learning from the Sheh Lechem, Nemakan Lechem, Lemem, Lechem, Aponim Lechem, maybe instead we should learn from the Lechem Aponim, which is also described as bread. Malahalan Shnei Yisroinim. Now the Lechem Aponim, we say in Shabbos Davening, Shnei Yisroinim, Yiyach Halahachas. Each loaf of the 12 loaves of the Lechem Aponim is 2 Yisroinim. So maybe then Afkan Shnei Yisroinim. So maybe each loaf of the 10 loaves of Chometz, of the Lechem Yisroinim, has to be 2 Yisroinim. Okay. So again, needle the midoyma. Again, let's try to figure out which one is the Chometz bread of the Torah going to be more similar to. Donin Mincha Ba Chometz Ima Zevach. We're going to learn preferentially from the Shtei Alechem, which have two similarities to the Lachmei Torah. Number one, it's Chometz, and number two, it comes together with a carbon, because the Shtei Alechem come together with the two Kvasim and a number of other carbonates. So it's more logical to learn that. Val Yechiach Lechem Aponim, let's not try to learn from the Lechem Aponim, which is not similar to the Chometz of the Torah in two ways. It's not chometz, the lechem aponim are masa, thick masa, but masa, and they don't come with a carbon because they come by themselves. So those are two. So they're not at all similar to the chometz of the Torah, and therefore you can learn it. On the other hand, oy kloch l'derechu. On the other hand, you can go in another direction because you can argue there's a different way in which the lachmei Torah are more similar to the lechem aponim. Donin mincha haba me'eretz v'chutz la'aretz min ha'chodesh min ha'yashan. The lachmei Torah are a mincha, which the wheat for them can come from Eretz Yisrael, it can come from chutz la'aretz, it can be from the new crop, it can be from old, from previous year's crop. Learn that. Mincha haba me'eretz v'chutz la'aretz min ha'chodesh min ha'yashan. Learn that from the lachem aponim, from the lachem aponim, which is also the same thing. The lachem aponim, the grain for it, can come from anywhere in the world, and it doesn't have to be chodesh. Those are lachem aponim every Shabbos. Yeah, they don't have to be from new grain. They don't have to be from Eretz Yisrael specifically. No, most minachos, the grain can come from anywhere in the world. Yeah. Only the omer and the shtei lachem have to come from Eretz Yisrael. We're going to learn that in the next day. So don't try to prove from the shtei lachem. She'en bois elam in achadosh min ha'aretz. After all, the shtei lachem can only come from the new crop and only from Eretz Yisrael. So again, you could argue, on the one hand, you could argue that you learn the size of them from the shtei lachem. On the other hand, you could equally well learn the size of them from the lachem aponim. So you don't know. So again, therefore, we need a process to break the tie. Talmud Lomar, that is why the pasuk says, Mimoshveitzeichem tavi'u lechem snufa shtayim. The Pasuk says, from your dwelling places, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, you should bring bread that is to be weighed, two of them. This is the Shtei Alechem. This is how the Pasuk describes the Shtei Alechem. Now, She'ein Tamad Lema Toviyu. Now, the Pasuk, Lechem Tzinuchah means the Shtei Alechem, because it's weighed. We learned in the previous Perek that it's weighed, we said that there are other Korbanos that are weighed. There are other Korbanos that are weighed, but these, the Pasuk is telling us that they need to be weighed, yes. Now, the Pasuk didn't have to use the word Taviyu, because it's not necessary for the simple sense of the Pasuk. The Pasuk could have just said, Mimoshveseichem lechem snufa. The previous Pasuk already says, he grabs a mincha chadash al Hashem, they should offer a new mincha. So we know automatically it means you have to offer a korban. What does that have to say? Taviyu, you should bring it. So the word Taviyu means, shekol masha atamezi mimakam acher, meaning whenever you're bringing chometz in some other context, meaning, in other words, where it's chometz that's accompanying a korban, like here, the shtei lechem that are accompanying a korban, any of those things, harehu kazeh, should be exactly like this, as far as size, therefore, malahalim isorim lachala, therefore, just like with the shtei lechem, it's one isorim per chala, which the Pasuk tells us explicitly, Afkan, the same thing with the lachmei Torah, the chometz one, isorim lachala, that means one isorim per chala, don't learn from the lechem upon him, learn from the Shtei Alechem, that's why the Pasuk tells us Taviyu, you're learning Dafka from them, one Isarin Kulchala. So there you go.
It only applies to...
To the Chometz. That's fine. The Masa ones are going to be smaller. We're going to get to that. E Malahal and Shnei Yitzroinus, but you could argue in that case, let's consider, with the Shtei Alechem, okay, each Chala individually is one Isarin, and therefore when you have two of them, then you have two Yitzroinus. And you're saying that we're comparing to that. We're saying, since over here, the promise of the Torah, there are 10 loaves, and that means 10 isarim. Maybe not. Maybe don't compare the size of the individual loaf. Maybe compare the total amount. And this, when it comes to the shtei alechem, the total amount of flour you're using is 2 esronis, which are divided among 2 loaves. Afkan shnei esronis. Maybe the pasuk here means that you take 2 isarin total and divide it among 10 loaves, so each of them is 1/5 of an isarin. How do you know not? Therefore, the pasuk says, they shall be, which is also an extra word in the pasuk, and we'll see later on, the Gemara will talk about how from that word. Well, so we'll see later on. The Gemara will explain how we know that that word tiyena means that the, how we're going to see later how that teaches us that the, that you actually need 1 isarin per loaf and not just 10 loaves out of a total of 2 isarin. We'll get to that later when the Gemara analyzes the braisa. Okay. Fine. Continues the braisa. Lamadnu asara lachomet. Fine. That takes care of that now we have 10 loaves of chomet, each of which consists of 1 isarin. How do we know the same thing applies that you need 10 isarin total of flour across all the 3 types of masa? So let's work that out. The pasuk says that in the previous pasuk, this is by the Torah, it mentions the 3 types of masa. It mentions you have chalos, you have rukikin, and you have murbeches, which is where chalos, we've talked about before, may mean thicker loaves and retikin are thinner ones, or it might be, we said before, the chalos, you blend oil into the flour with the flour while you're making the dough, whereas retikin are only smeared with oil afterwards. Revucha, we've said before, is that you put the flour into boiling hot water, then you take it out of the boiling hot water, you knead it, and you bake it, and then you fry it. That's more best. I guess it would be a little bit like making bagels. I don't know. Whatever. Real original style bagels. Yeah, they scald them in hot water at some point. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So whatever it is, that's murbeches. And then the pasuk mentions those 3. And then the next pasuk continues al chalos lechem chomet on chalos of chomet bread, meaning neged chomet hove masa. It means the pasuk is implying that the amount of masa, the total amount of masa, has to be equal to the total amount of chomet. So therefore, that's what it means, in other words. So therefore, if the chomet is 10 isarin, and we learned that from the lechem aponim, then it means that the masa also has to be total 10 isarin. Nimtu extra masroinus lachme toda. So it comes out that the lachme toda consists of 20 asturinim total of flour. Asara lachomet, asara lamasa. Okay. Next, continues the braisa. Yochol asara shabamasa lo yukulin elamininachad. Okay, maybe you would think then, maybe the pasuk is implying that the same way as the chomet, you only have 1 type of loaf, and each loaf consists of 1 isarin. Maybe the masa also, you only have 1 type of masa, and each one consists of 1 isarin. No, Talmud Lomar. No, the pasuk says previously, if he's bringing a shlomim as a toida, which means that it has the dinim of a toida, the hikriv al zevach ha-toida, then together with the zevach ha-toida, he offers chalos masas glulas bashemen, chalos of masa that are blended with oil, or a kike masas meshuchin bashemen, and wafers of masas that are smeared with oil, v'soilas merbeches, and scalded flour, that was scalded in boiling hot water. So you have 3 types. So it comes out, if you have 10 isarin of flour that's available for all the masa, then it means, divide that by 3, you have 3 isarinim, and 1/3 for each min. The shalosh chalos the isarin, and it comes out, therefore, within each type, you have 10 loaves, like we said before, because echad mikol karban truma. So therefore, you wind up, you take the 3 and 1/3 isarinim, and divide that by 10, you have 1/3 isarin per loaf. So in other words, you get 3 loaves, or as the Gemara is putting it, your shalosh chalos isarin, out of every isarin, you get 3 loaves. So the first isarin, you get 3, second one also 3, third one also 3, and you have 1/3 of an isarin, which gives you the 10th loaf. Okay. V'nimtu lachme toda aboyim, so it comes out in the end, you have 40 loaves of bread that come with the toda, notamein arba v'nosem makoyim, out of that you take 4, one of each of the 4 types, and give them to the koyim, v'ashar nachol nubaylim, and the rest of the Mishnah said, and eat the other 36, 9 of each 4 of the 4 types, so eaten by the oil. So the mezeach, you have none of the lechem goes to the mezeach. You have the emurim of the korban, the usual, the fat, then shtei toyas, and the rest of that. Yeah, none of the chalas goes on the Mizbeach, right?
How do we know that just four goes to a Kohen?
Because we said, Echad Mikol Korban, Truma. We said before that Truma means one out of ten, like Truma's Maizis.
Oh.
So therefore that means, ten, you have ten chametz, and you give one to the Kohen. You have ten chalas, Maizis, and you give one to the Kohen. You have ten, four out of four, yeah. Okay, fine. Thus far the Braisa, now let's start analyzing it. Amamar, Vehikru Mimenu Minam Chover. So we started by saying that the word Mimenu teaches us that you have to take the one out of every ten Minam Chover, which again Rashi Ksav Yad had said that it means that all of them have to be in one keli when you're taking the one to give to the Kohen. And Tosfos had argued on that and said it doesn't mean they have to be in one keli, just as it means they all have to be together, they all have to be touching. No, not just complete, but they all have to be touching. Yeah, touching. There's a Minam Mukov, yeah. They sort of call a Mukov Sahama, they just have to be touching, yeah. Anyway. So the question is, the Gemara says, Elamayasa, by that logic, you're going to tell me the word Mimenu, whenever you're talking about separating out something for the Kohen or the Mizbeach or whatever, always means that it's connected. What about you have by the Parhel of Dover Shal Sibur, so that the Korban that the Sibur brings, if the Sanhedrin made a mistake in Halacha and most of the people followed it. So the Pasuk says, you take all of the Chela Mimenu from it, also Mai Mechober, what's connected over there? According to Rashi, the Gemara's question is that on the face of it, by the time you take out the chalav, the pashtus, the animal has already been cut up. So it's not a pashtus anymore. Tosfos, again, according to their shitta, that it doesn't have to be physically, that it doesn't have to be actually in one keli, it just has to be touching, so they say, so what's the problem? The Gemara could assume that you put them all in one, after you cut it up, you put it all in one keli. So therefore, Tosfos says the question is the other way around. Obviously, when you're taking out the Imurim, the animal hasn't been cut up yet. Why do we need the would be menu that you would think otherwise? So the answer is, Kidur Rav Chista, Amar Avim. The answer is, that Pasuk is teaching us what Rav Chista tells us in the name of Avim. The Amar Rav Chista, Amar Avim. Exactly that. You do not cut up the Korban into its pieces before you take out the Imurim. We learn that from this would be menu. So according to Rashi, in other words, without that word mimenu, we would think that you could cut it up first, and therefore the word mimenu comes to tell us that not. According to Tosfos, what it is, yes, I mean, it is mechubar on the basis of, because the pasuk tells us, if you didn't have the pasuk, you could think you could do either way, you could keep it together, or you could cut it up first. The pasuk is telling you to insist that it has to be.
You could cut it before
You would think that you could cut it up before you take out the emorim, the word mimenu teaches us that not.
So
okay. That was Mimenu by the Lach Metodi. Here we're talking about Mimenu by Chela.
No, I understand.
The point is, the Gemara was asking. No, it's not. It's a different thing. The Gemara was just asking that if the word Mimenu always means that it's together, then what is it teaching us by Chela? And the answer is it's teaching us exactly that din, that it has to back to be together when you're taking out the Chela. Okay. Fine. Next part of the Braith, the Omamar Nemo Kan Truma, Nemo Trumas Meister Truma. So we said that we're learning the Lach Metoda by Xeda Shava from Trumas Meister. That over there is 1 out of 10, so here also it's 1 out of 10. We're coming back to that point. So the question is, we have another place we can learn, the Nelach Metrumas Midian. Why instead don't we learn from the Truma that was given after the war with Midian in Parashas Matos? You have over there, that Hashem told Moshe, that you have the spoils of Midian are to be split up. Half of it goes to the soldiers, half of it goes to the rest of the people, and each group has to give a truma. The soldiers give over there one fiftieth to the Levian, and the rest of the people give 1/500th to the Kohen.
And where is that?
No, we're talking about by truma midyan. So for example, the pasuk says So one second. So let's say, for example, the Pasuk mentions, let's say, that they captured, 675,000 sheep. So the Pasuk says, well, they split it, so 337,500 go to the soldiers, the other 337,500 go to the rest of the people. Then the soldiers have to take, out of their 337,000 or whatever, they have to take 1/50th of that and give that to the Levium, and give that to the Kohen, rather, sorry. And so that comes out, so they give 675. And then same thing with all the other animals. And then Bnei Yisrael have to give 1/50th of what they got to the Kohenim. I don't remember, actually, if it's 1/500th to Levium and 50th to the Kohenim, or whatever. The point is, so each group is giving a truma out of theirs, 1/50th or 1/500th, and the prophet calls it over there truma, then the prophet calls it over there truma. So why not learn from that? In that case, you should say you need 500 loaves. What is that? The war with Midian, and the Parashat Matos is long after Matan Torah. 40 years after my entire
40 years after?
Yeah. So it's in this, yeah. Shortly before Moshe passed away, yeah. The answer is Gum Truma and the Hegra for Dirt. Truma and the Hegra for Dirt. Okay, but we're going to learn a Truma that lasts, that exists in future generations from another one that exists in future generations. The Torah exists as long as there's a Beis Hamikdash. The Truma Neiser exists whenever a Jewish farmer has to take Truma and Neiser from his produce. As opposed to, this is a one-time thing. Don't try to learn from Truma Midian, which is a one-time thing in history. It's not an ongoing thing. It's a one-time thing in history, so therefore we're not going to learn.
It was a war, basically.
Yeah, it was a war, but that's not the point. The point is, it was a one-time thing that Hashem told them, fight against Midian, you're capturing spoils, and afterwards give portions of it to the Levim and to the Kohanim. That's not an ongoing thing. Fine. What about another possibility? Nailah from Truma Chala. How about let's learn from the Truma given of Chala? Where Midarais, so now when it comes to Truma Chala, Rashi Ksaviad points out over here that Rashi regular and Rashi Ksaviad give different amounts. The rule is Chala, you give 1/24 if you're a private person, and you give 1/48 if you're a baker. The Rashi on the top over here, Miyochas to Rashi, brings the 1/48. Rashi Ksaviyah, which is the original Rashi, gives what mentions 1/24. Either way, the point is, maybe it means less. Which, by the way, you have various Mephoshim ask the question, Midoraita, there's no particular Shira for Chala. Midoraita, you can give a small amount, and you're yours to the Mitzvah, and you're yours to the Mitzvah of Chala. So what are we asking 1/28 to 1/24 to 1/48, which are only Dinim Dirabanan? So there's an answer that a number of Acharonim give. For example, the Mishnah Melech discusses this someplace on the Rambam and there's others who also talk about the idea that there's two different things in challah. You have to take challah from your dough, otherwise you're not allowed to eat it, it's kettle. And number two, you're supposed to give to the Kohen, and that you're supposed to give him a respectable amount. That you have the 1/24 for the 1/48. Midaraisa, all you need is you take out a tiny amount, and you yoisa that now your challah is not kettle anymore. Midrabbanan, your challah is still tevel until you take out the proper amount to give to the Kohen. But midaraisa, anyway, you're supposed to be giving that proper amount. Of course you do. Well, okay, nowadays we don't do specifically 1/24 because it's burnt anyway. So therefore, there's anyway no particular reason to take out any particular amount. So whatever you're taking is going to end up having to get burnt anyway. When they gave challah to Kohenim to eat, then there was the shear of 1/24 or 1/48.
Why is there something challah and tumor? Like tumor is like... So
midaraisa also chitachat b'cheres
b'tzi, right?
So what's the difference? Why the chachamim? Why the chachamim kaveh different shiurim for different things? So one idea is that the idea is it's supposed to be kedei nesina. It should be a respectable amount that you're giving. So when it comes to challah, let's say so the idea is private person, how much are they needing at one time? It's kind of something like an isara and a shiur challah, or maybe a little bit more than that. So 1/24 of that will come out to about 2 kvesas, which is a respectable amount to give to the kohen. A baker who usually bakes in larger quantities, 1/48 of that will be enough to be kedei nesina.
That's
for a private person. So the Mishnah says, even if you have a private person who happens to be making a big batch of dough, okay, like flow. The Chachamim say always a private person 1/24, always a baker 1/48, even if it happens that the private person is making a big amount and the baker is making a small amount. But there's also a baker who has to make a profit, so the Chachamim had Rachmanis on him, so he should be able to make a profit. But you're asking why it's true. I mean, the Truma, actually, the amounts that we have, the 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, we actually learn from Sukkim and Yechezkel.
Yes.
So, yeah, Chala, I don't think we have anything specific that we learn from Pasuk. It's just the Takana of the Chachamim. Anyway, so the point is, why don't we learn from Chala? Again, Chala is 1/24th or 1/48th, depending if you're a private person or a baker. So that whole thing that I was just explaining, actually, is from the Noda B'Yehuda. And the Thoros Hashas references here, the Noda B'Yehuda has a Truva in your day, and Dine Chala, and he asks this question, that midaraisa, you can give a tiny amount, and that's his answer, that there's a difference between making it not pebble, that you should be allowed to eat the Chala, versus actually giving it to the Kohen. We're giving it to the Kohen, you have to have 1/24th or 1/48th, so that it's a respectable amount.
You would think it's the same.
No, but that's the point. In other words, there's no to be a hardest point, that midaraisa, you have two different things. If you just want to pasture your dough so that's not pebble anymore, then even a tiny amount is enough to do that. If you're giving it to the Kohen as you're supposed to do, in other words, if the dough is Tahar and whatever, then you should be giving him at least 1/24 or 1/48. Midrabbanan, the Rabbanan said both things are the same thing. If you take out less than 1/24 or less than 1/48, your dough is still tevel and you may not eat it. That was the Rabbanan. Midrabbanan, you can take out a tiny, just make it not tevel, all you need is a tiny amount. So anyway, so the question is, why aren't we learning from Trum, from Chala? Really, you have the concept of giving the Kayan 1/24 or 1/48. The answer is Tanit Veda Bishmal. Dumin Dava Shemema by Mimenu Trum Hashem, Mi Dava Shemema by Trum Hashem. Fine, but we're going to learn something where it says the word Trum Hashem from something from where it says Mimenu Trum Hashem, Mi Dava Shemema by Trum Hashem, which is also supposed to be Mimenu Trum Hashem. In other words, the question is, again, why are we learning Lachne Toida from Trum Hashem rather than learning it from Chala? The answer is because by Lachne Toida, it says the expression Mimenu Echa Mikol Kavod Truma Lashem. So it uses the word Mimenu and Truma and Lashem. By Truma Smaiter, it also uses all three of those words, Mimenu, Truma, Hashem. As opposed to by Chala, La Puka, Truma, Chala, Jilay Nema, by Mimenu, Truma, Lashem. By Chala, it does say Truma, Lashem, but it doesn't say Mimenu. So that's what I mentioned before. That's why we can't say that before we were learning from Mimenu, because if we're asking over here from Chala, and we have to answer this, it means before we weren't using Mimenu, and only now we're bringing in that one. So that's what
you could, but it's not.
But then we don't have the word Mimenu, right? So that's the bottom line. You can't learn from Bikurim, because Bikurim is not the last kind of truma that's given from this produce. For the same reason you can't learn from the same reason you can't learn from regular truma. You can't learn from you could have thought on the other hand to learn from Bikurim. That's why we said Truma Lashem, where Bikurim are not described as Truma Lashem. Now further down, after we've begun with the Braita, we're saying okay. So then we said you can't learn from Trumas Midian because only a one time thing, and you can't learn from Chala because then you have to bring in the word Midian. Right. Okay. Fine.
That's
why we're left with only Trumas Meister, which meets all of these criteria. Okay. Fine. Boy, Rava. But now Rava asked the question.
We finished the topic.
Yeah, now we've established that, we're going to get back to the Braith soon, but the Gemara is digressing a second to ask the question. If you're telling me that the Trumas Lachme Toida is similar to Trumas Maiser, and we were thinking even it could be similar to Bikurim, and it could be similar to Chala, etc., all of those things have similar dinim in that only Koyanim can eat them, and also that and if a Zor eats them, if he eats them amazing, he's chayav mitzvah b'dei shamayim. If he eats them the shogeg, he has to pay the Koyan the amount, the value of them plus an extra 25%. So now does that apply to these things also? Boy Rava, Trumas Lachme Toda, these four Lachme Toda that you're giving to the Koyan, Chayavin Aleim Nisav HaChomesh, if a Zor were to eat them the Mezid, would he be Chayav Nisav HaDei Shemayim? If he eats them the Shogig, would he be Chayav HaChomesh to the Koyan? Or ain't Chayavin Aleim Nisav HaChomesh, or maybe not. On the one hand, you can argue, given the Itkash of Trumas Maiser to Trumas Maiser, you can argue, look, the Pasuk is comparing it to Trumas Maiser, in that that's how we know that's 1 out of 10, so therefore it should be like Trumas Maiser, with a dinim of Mitzah and Chayim, in those respects also. Oy Dilma, or maybe not, Boy, Vachamishisa, Niyat Rahmana. Maybe when it comes to Truma, and which also includes Trumas Maiser, the Pasuk is two Mi'utim in the Pasukim over there, Umesu Boy, Ki Yichalavuhu. So maybe the boy teaches us that only mitzvah only applies, mitzvah b'dei shemayim, applies only to truma, not to lachmei toida. And similarly, when it says b'chamishi soy, if you took him later, it says if a zor eats at the shogig, then he pays the it chomesh, which would also be a mirt, only it of truma, not of lachmei toida. The mirt rachmana. So maybe you could say the toida makes has a mirt by each one of those things, that they don't apply to lachmei toida. Another question would also be medamas or ina medamas. Another question would be, that we know that the concept of truma, and it also applies to chala and to bikurim again, that if some of it falls into chulin, and you don't have 100 times as much chulin to be mevatalit, then the whole thing is meduma, and it's also for zorim to eat. What you end up having to do is, let's say, meduma means mix.
So it means mixed.
It's actually related in Yamapotik and Parshas Mishpatim, Malayacha the Dimacha loisa'acha, where Dimacha means truma. So that's what it is. So let's say, for example, what you end up having to do is, let's say you had one pound of truma fall into 50 pounds of kohen. What you do is, so now you have 51 pounds total. What you do is you have to sell it to kohenim at the price of 50 of truma. First of all, truma sells for less than kohen because only kohenim can eat it, only when they're tahor, etc. But second of all, you can't very well sell him the one that's truma because that belongs to the kohen anyway. So you figure out the price of 50 pounds of truma would be such and such. That's how much you sell them, this 51 pounds. Yeah. And then we had it all over Shabbat. It comes up all over Shabbat. Okay. So the question is, no, you can't put in another 50 of chulin to mevatel it, right? A mevatel mitzvah, right? Okay. So the question is, again, does the same thing apply over here? Medamas or in a medamas? Would we say that since these lachme toida are like truma, so do they cause medruma or not? And the answer is teku. We're not sure. In other words, again, if one of these lachme toida fell into 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever regular loaves of bread, would they all be also to Zarin? Or would we say, look, on a Zaraita level, things are bottle 1 in 2, even the Rabbanon, most things are bottle 1 in 60, only by Truma and Ola and Kalayakadam do you need larger amounts, so maybe over here, maybe we would treat it like Truma, or maybe we would treat it like regular Zarin. Okay, we don't know.
Why wouldn't we treat it directly like Truma?
That's the question, because maybe, again, if you are, especially, well, first of all, the whole concept of Midruma is really only the Rabbanah. Midaraisa, everything is bottle 1 and 2. After Rambam happens. In fact, in Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah references over here that the Rambam passed into Lakula in this case. That if one of the breads of the Toida, one of the ones that was given to the Kohen, that is, if it falls into a bunch of other ones, then if no, that's the point. What we're saying is that the whole it shouldn't be bottle is only something that I've bought, and with things that I've bought, we go to the cola. So that's what it ends up being. Therefore, let me find the halacha over here and help with my taka bonus head of cheese. What did you say over here? Yeah, that I'm. So he says over here like this. Well, it depends. When you have things, generally things that are right that take, you have to be machna, and things that are bonan, you can be makel. In dinim mamonis, teku usually means hamotz mechavel over right. Okay, so the Rambam actually passed into Lakula on all three things. Halacha mamurim min atoida, the Rambam says, sofek tromu, lefichach ein chayav nolav nisiv achoymish ketroma, so he's not chayav nisiv edesh amayim, if he did it but made it, he's not chayav choymish for it, because tromu, because I guess, again, hamoz mechabel of araya, and the ein medameh ketroma, and doesn't call it dimua like tromu, because that would be the whole concept of medruma, is only the Rabban.
So it's not the Rabban.
So therefore, right. Okay. Omerman, Talmud Loimer Tiyana. Now let's get back to analyzing the Braita. We said in the Braita that we were left with the question, that fine, we're learning the size of the Lechem Chometz, we're learning from the Shtei Lechem, where we said the Shtei Lechem are one Isor in each, so therefore the Chometz of the Torah is also one Isor in each. But we asked the question, how do we know? Maybe the total amount of flour for the Shtei Lechem is two Asurinim, so maybe it means the total here is two Asurinim divided up among 10 Chalas. And we said we're learning from the word Tiyana, that not. So Omamar, Talmud Loimer Tiyana. My Talmud, that's the question is, how are we learning from the word tiyana that means 10 sorin? I'm going to use Chafar Dini, tiyana ktiv, because it says tiyana with two yud. It could have spelled it with only one yud. So therefore, so the extra yud teaches us about the last metoda, and it teaches us that we mean that it has to be 10 units. The question is, Ema Asora Kapizi. Fine, it has to be 10 units. Who says that each of those units is an Isorin? Maybe it means 10 Kapiza. A Kapiza is a half a cow. So 10 Kapiza would be 5 Tavim, which, by the way, the Mephoshim explained that what the Gemara is asking is that, I mean, the Gemara could have asked just as well even smaller amounts, but the point is 10 Kapiza is more than 2 Esroin. So the question is, maybe the Pasuk is implying the minimum you need across the 10 Lachmei Chometz is 2 Esroinim, same as the total amount for the Shei Lachem. It could be more. So let's say, for example, we'll do it in terms of Kapizas, where you have 10 of them, you have more than 2 Esroinim, you have about 3.5 Esroinim, and good, maybe that's what it means. Who says it means 10 whole Esroinim? The answer is, Amar Rabba, that's Esroinim, Dibra HaKosov. Okay, but Rabba says the fact is, the Pasuk is, toward the context where we're learning this word Tiyana, is from the Shei Lachem, where it's described in terms of Esroinim, not in terms of Kapizas. So therefore, if the Pasuk is telling us the word Tiyana, which has an extra yud, and the extra yud may even mean 10 loaves, then it means that 10 Esroinim, 10 units, they mean 10 units, so therefore it has to mean 10 units. 10, not just 10 of any other kind of unit, but 10 Esroinim specifically. Okay, Rashi A tsurinim, a tsurinus, whatever. In Torah terminology, it's a tsurinim. Rashi Ksaviyad says a tsurinus. It's one of those things, Lashon Torah and Lashon Chachamim aren't always the same. Okay, so Rashi, by the way, Rashi Ksaviyad mentions that he doesn't have that whole girsa, but maybe Kapizi, and the answer is a tsurinus. Rashi doesn't hold of that girsa. That just it says tiyena, and therefore it means ten tsurinim, finished. Next, let's continue analyzing the price. So we said, Lamadnu Asar al-Chomet. We said, we learned from that that you have to have 10 Asurinim for the Chomet, and therefore one Isar in Kolo. We said, Asar al-Masiminayin. We said that where are we learning that you have also have 10 Asurinim total of flour for the Master? Tamad Lama al-Chalos Lechem Chomet. So we say we're learning it because it says, on top of chalos of lechem chometz, which means kineged chometz tavei matzah, which means you have to have an equal amount of chometz and of matzah. So if it's 10 asurinim of chometz, then still another 10 asurinim of matzah. The problem with that is v'chidover halomed v'hekesh chozer malamed v'hekesh. The question is, what do we just say? We're learning the chometz itself that's 10 loaves. We're learning from the shtei alechem by the word tiyena, by the word taviu and the word tiyena over there. We learn
on the principle
how we can learn it. We learned in Zvachim and the whole sugya over there about what you can when it comes to Kodshim, learning one thing from another and then learning a second thing from it. We said if you learn something with a hekish in Kodshim, you can't learn something else from that second thing using a hekish. So what are you telling me over here? You're learning from the Shtei Alechem to the Chometz of Lachmei Torah, and then you want to learn from the Chometz of Lachmei Torah to the Master of Lachmei Torah. That's a hekish and then a hekish. That doesn't work. The answer is Heimenu v'Dava Achalu, because we're not just learning from the Shtei Alechem. We're learning from it and something else. So what does that mean? In other words, so let's start like this. One second. Rashi Ksaviyad, which is the real Rashi, explains like this. When it comes to the Lechem Chometz, we already know from it itself that it has to be 10 chalas because he said the word truma, and we said the definition of the word truma is 1 from 10. It is 1 out of every 10. What we're learning from the Shtei Alechem is that you need an Isarin for each chala. So therefore, we're not really learning Heimenu v'Dava Acha because we're not learning the thing that you need, we're not learning the entire thing from the Shtei Alechem. Some of it we're learning from itself, Heimenu, from itself, that by itself, it says truma, Echa Mikol Karvin Truma, and from that we learn that you need 10 loaves. The only detail we're learning from the Shtei Alechem is that you need 10, is that those 10 loaves that can be made out of 10 Esrim. So therefore, you're not learning by a hekish gomer, Rashi Ksaviyad says, it would be if it hadn't said anything by the Lachmei Torah, not the number of loaves and not the amount, and we had to learn the whole thing from the Shtei Alechem, then we would say that's a hekish, so we can't then learn from that to another thing by a hekish. But here, where Heimenu, the Dover Ato, we were learning part of it from something that it says by the comet bread itself, and only some of it, the detail that you need 10 Asurinim, are we learning from the Shtei Alechem, then that's not a full-fledged hekish, and therefore we can learn from that to something else. The rule doesn't apply when you're learning only when you're learning from itself plus from Dover Ato. Only when you're learning everything from Dover Ato, right. Rashi on the top of it here, Miyuchas L'Rashi, has a bit of a different understanding of Heimenu V'Dava Acha. We're not learning the same detail from the Lechem Aponim to the Chometz of the Torah that we're learning from the Chometz of the Torah to the Master of the Torah. Because over here, we're learning from the Shtei Alechem, we're learning this one Isarin per Chala, but for the Master, you don't have one Isarin per Chala, you have a third of an Isarin per Chala. Therefore, you're not really learning the same thing. Okay.
Well,
it's not the same because each Chala is one third the size.
So?
Okay, so therefore, it's not the same thing. Okay.
It's not the same thing.
So that's Shachomis Enimal Lamed Al Master, says Rashi Yamachah. There's a Mashu Loimed the Hekish from Shtei Alechem. It's not teaching the same thing that we learned by a Hekish from Shtei Alechem. We're learning from the Shtei Alechem that you need one Isarin per Chala, or we're learning by the Hekesh to Master through Yud Esrenim, we're learning the total amount that you need 10 Esrenim, Dainu Dover Achar. Namely, you're teaching a different thing. You're not learning the same thing from a Hekesh from one to another and then using that same thing by a Hekesh to something else. We're learning one thing, we're learning one detail from the Shtei Alechem to the Chometz, and then a different detail from the Chometz from the Chometz to the Masa. That we can do. Okay. The question with that is, the Gemara says, Hanicha l'manda Omar loy habehekish. Okay, that works according to the opinion. We had later on in Zvachim, at the end of Perek Ezer Mekayman, in the middle of Ezer Mekayman, we had the whole story over there about Lomid min Alomid. Then at the end of that Perek, we had a machloitz, we had a discussion over there, regarding one of the other korbanos, whether Heimenu Radava Acher counts as a hekish for purposes of this rule. So the question is, so we had a machloitz over there, whether Heimenu Radava Acher is considered works or not. Yeah. So according to the opinion, that it's not considered a hekish, then good. According to the opinion that said over there that it is considered a hekish, and therefore he says that you cannot then go and learn from that to something else, because then you'd be breaking the rule. This had to do with the question over there was as far as how we know that a bechor can be shnei yom v'layla echad. We had a whole discussion over there between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. We're part of the discussion turned on this question where you're learning heimenu v'davar acher. What do you mean, who asked the question? The Gemara is asking the question right here. No. We have a machlokas over there. In Zvachim. So we had a discussion over there. We had a whole discussion over there between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yitzhaglili and Rabbi Shmuel. That you're trying to learn how you know that a Bechor can be eaten the Shnei Yom V'Layla. So Rabbi Akiva, at one point in the discussion, is learning it from the Toida, which in turn is learned from the Shlomim, and Rabbi Shmuel argues on that the Hekish from a Hekish, and he can't do that. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Akiva would be better if the case of Heimenu v'Davacher. Rabbi Akiva has no problem with that. So according to Rabbi Akiva, good, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, how is it going to work over here? The answer is, Tavi'u Ribuya. Yes, but the fact that we have the word Tavi'u that we mentioned before, by the Shtei Alechem, we said before that it teaches us that everything that you bring should be similar to this. So therefore, that is a ribui. So therefore, it's a ribui. It's not a hekish. Yes, a hekish would be.
So it works because it's a
ribui. So it works because it's a ribui, not because it's a hekish. Right. So Rashi explains a hekish would be if it didn't say the word, if it didn't, in that pasuk taviu, if it didn't mention that each challah has to be one isarin, and we had to learn it by a hekish from the Shtei Alechem. If you didn't have the word taviu, that would be, if it said the word taviu, but it didn't say over there that each challah is one isarin, and we had to learn it in a different way, that would be a hekish. You have a hekish over there, but not the actual detail that you're learning from the hekish. But now that you have the actual detail there, then it's a ribui rather than a hekish.
Because
it says right there in the pasuk, it says the amount per challah, and it also says the word taviu. Then Rashi brings another explanation, that the word taviu is a ribui, that you want to have a large korban, so each challah should consist of a holy sarin. In other words, we're not learning just from the amount that it says in the pasuk. We're learning it should be as large as possible, a holy sarin. The yud of tiyana teaches us 10 challahs. So again, it says right there in the pasuk. So it's the equivalent of it saying right there in the pasuk regarding the toja. So therefore, it's not a hekish, and therefore we can learn from that to the master.
It says it in the pasuk.
In the pasuk, it says the word taviu, which means implying that it should be a holy sarin, because it should be a large thing. Tiyana teaches us 10 challahs, and that says, and that's considered, like it said right there by the Torah, it's not considered to be a hekish, even though it's in context of the Shtei Alechem. Okay. Fine. Continues the Mishnah. So that's what we're saying taviu is a regular. Okay. Fine. Now, we have two other
words.
So it works even according to Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. So now, like this, we have two other kinds of korbanos that also come with various types of bread. You have, in the Torah, it describes the korbanos milurim, the inauguration korbanos that they brought during the 7 days, and then on the 8th day, when they're inaugurating the Mishkan for the first time, that's the milurim. And then you have a nazir brings with his korbanos, when he's finished his nazirus, he brings 3 korbanos, and one of them, the shlomim, is accompanied with bread also. So now let's discuss the amount of those. So the Mishnah says, "Hamiluim hoyubon kamasa shabatoida." The miluim, the bread that they brought with them they brought the same type and the same amount as the master that comes with the toga, chalas, the retikin, and revucha. You have the three types, chalas, retikin, and revucha, and in the same quantities as with the toga. So in other words, there you have 30 loaves instead of 40, because they didn't have chametz over there, and the total was 10 esronim, of course, the 30 chalas, same as with the master of the toga. Nizirus ha'itabash she'yodis k'masa shal toga. The korbanos of a nazir, you have 2/3 of the master of the toga, because you only have chalas or a kikin. The ein bo revucha. There's no murbechas. There's no revucha with the korbanos of a nazir, because it's not mentioned over there. And we'll see in the Gemara that we have a limud from the psukim to tell us that you shouldn't think that it's like a toga that you still have to have a third one anyway. So nimsa, so how does it come, so what's the total amount then that comes out when it comes to the korbanos of a nazir? So now, when it comes to the toda, we said you start out with 20 esronim. So okay, leaving aside the chametz, because you don't have chametz for a nazir, so you only have the masa. The masa of a toda, we said you have 10 esronim, which is divided up among 30 chalas. The chalas of a nazir, you only have 20 chalas, but you still have to have the same size chalas. Therefore, nimsa asara kaben yirshal, and we said over there also, we said that the 10 esronim that are units for the master of the toga equals 15 kaven in yirshal measurement, in midas yirshal, which they used in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, maybe the first Beit HaMikdash also, I don't know. Anyway, the point is that, if the master of the toga consists of 15 kaven yirshalmias, and the nazir is supposed to be 2/3 of that, nimsa asara kaven yirshalmias, so it comes out to 10 kaven yirshalmim, 10 out of 15 is 2 out of 3, shen shisha esronos ve'odoy, which equals, in terms of esronim, it equals 6 esronim plus fraction. Odoy, it means like ve'oy, it's plural of ve'oy. So it means, like this, it would be each type is 3 and 1/3, so two of them is 6 and 2/3. 6 and 2/3 of thronium, 6.66, 0.67, whatever, yeah, is the amount of flour that you're putting in, to the masa that comes to the nazir's korbanos, which in Yerushalmi measurement terms is called 10 kaven. So 5 for one and 5 for the other. So now the Gemara says, Minahanimili, where do we know all of this from? That's how much the miluim are and how much the korbanos of the nazir are. So let's start with the miluim. Amr of Chista, Amr of Choma Barguya. Like this, the Amakra, umisal ha-masas ha-shalukne Hashem, the Pasuk describes that from the basket of masas that was before Hashem, this is in Parashat, you have the korbanos over there are described, you have in Parashat Tetzava, Hashem tells Moshe what to do, and later on in Parashat Tetzava, and in Parashat Shemini, it describes what they actually did. So it says, umisal ha-masas ha-shalukne Hashem, from the basket of masas that are before Hashem, loka chalas masa achat, he took one chala of masa, v'chalas lechem shemen achat, and one challah of bread of oil, which we're going to explain in a second what that means, the rokik echad and one rokik. So we have to, let's figure out what each of those means. Bishleim chalos chalos. Okay, the word chalos masas means chalos, just like we said by the Torah. Rokik means exactly what we know elsewhere. It means rokik. No, well, before we get to the measurements, the question is, first, how do we know we can assume the measurements are the same, fine, but at least, how do we know that's the same type? So, chalos, it says, rokik, it says, but then you have a word over here that doesn't use any place else. Shemen, ma'ininu, when it says chalos lechem shemen, what could that be? Lav revucha. Presumably, it must mean the revucha, which is called chalas lechem shemen, because we're going to talk about later on how much oil they put into these various types of masa. What we say is they had a half a lug of oil. Out of that half a lug, a half of it, which is therefore a quarter of a lug, goes towards the revucha, is mixed into the flour for the revucha. And the other half is divided, the other quarter of a lug, you divide into two parts. So now you have an eighth of a lug each, is used for the chalas and the rikikin. So therefore, in other words, the revucha has as much oil in it as the chalas and the rikikin combined. Therefore, it can be called chalas lacham shem. Okay, so you start out with a half a lug of oil. Mm-hmm. You take one half of that, so therefore a quarter of a lug or a vias, and you put that into the dough for the revucha. And then you may, you mix the ruvucha and you make out of it 10 chalas. Then you take, and then you take the other revius and you divide it in two. So now you have a half a revius, like a half a revius, like an ounce of a, like an ounce and a half or 2 ounces or so. And you put one of those into the, eighth of a log, yes. You put one of those eight into the dough for the chalas and 1/8 into the dough for the rikikin. So therefore, it comes out that the ruvucha has as much oil in it as the chalas and rikikin combined. Therefore, it can be called chalas lacham shemen. So there you go. You see, therefore, that the miluim have the same three types of bread, the same three types of masa bread as the Torah does. So there you go. So the question is, maski for Rav Ibya. Rav Ibya asks on that. How do you know that chalas lacham shemen means that? Ema anta de mishcha. Maybe the word chalas lacham shemen means an anta of oil. So Rashi Ksaviad says that that means you take the oil and you harden it, you cool it down to make it hard or whatever, to make it stiff, and you make it into like a big flat cake of oil. Maybe that's what it means. There's no dough in it at all. Maybe it just means it's oil. Rashi on top says similarly that it means it's one of two possibilities. That can mean a thick piece of dough that was fried in oil, or it can mean like Rashi Ksaviad, a cake of, or just oil. How do we know? Maybe that's what chalas lacham shemen is. No. So we can't say that. We don't know from that pasuk that the miluim have the revucha like the Torah does. It doesn't say the word revucha. Instead, it says chalas lacham shemen. So, ela kedidora shabnachem. So that we exclude. So we have a different way. Ela kedidora shabnachem barachit the mishmeder of Tavla. You have like this. In Parashat Tzav, it says, ze korban aron avonav asher yakrivu lashem v'yom himosha chayseh. This, which then it goes on to describe, the chavite kohen gadol that I brought every day, it says this is the korban of Aaron and his sons that they should offer to Hashem when they're anointed. Now the question is, what are we learning about his children when they're anointed? A kohen head yet in future generations is not anointed. So fine, if the pasuk may mean that the pasuk may mean that future kohenim go and bring it, but the pasuk says that a few psukim later. So what is it mentioning over here, the sons? Therefore, it means the Torah is making a hekesh between the chinuch, between the inauguration of a kohen when he first does the avodah and when the kohenim were anointed, when a kohen gadol was anointed in future generations. Ma himoshchay ruvucha, just like when the kohen gadol, new kohen gadol, is anointed and starts bringing the minchas tabidin, he brings a ruvucha. He brings this kind of thing where it was put in boiling hot water and then baked and then fried. Achinuchay ruvucha, the same thing. The minchas chinuch that a kohen brings when he first starts his avodah, and therefore also the one that the kohenim brought when they were first being inaugurated in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, also has to be ruvucha. So that's how we know, therefore, that they had a ruvucha over there. So now we understand that chalas lacham shemen, well, it applies also to the original generation, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moshe and Aaron's time. So therefore, that tells us that chalas lacham shemen does not mean a cake of frozen oil. It doesn't mean a thick piece of dough fried in oil. It means revucha, the same kind of thing that's used for the minchas tabit, and which is also the same type that's used for the Torah. So that's how we know that it's the same as the Torah.
Because we have that hekesh of
chinuch and himosh.
How to work off this
nazir? The nazir we're going to get to. First we're going to finish up with this. Since we're talking about the anointing of the kohen gadol and the fact that he brings a minchas chinuch, the fact that he brings a minchas chavitin every day, and also on the other hand, when a kohen does the avodah for the first time in his life, he also brings a minchas chinuch, which is the same type of mincha. So we might mention the din there. The Torah is brought any time. First of all, a person can bring a Torah voluntarily, but also a person typically brings a Torah after a nest happened to him. Like nowadays, we bench Goymol, in those days we bring a Korban Torah. Okay, so Omer of Chista, Kohen Gadol HaMiskarev La'Avoida, when the Kohen Gadol, after he was anointed, the first time he's going to do the Avoida, Torah Shtei Esroinim. That day, he has to bring 2 Esroinim of flour as a Korban. Shnei Esroinim Se'eta. One for the fact that he was anointed, and therefore that he's going to be bringing it as a minchas chavitin, which from now on he's going to be bringing every day. And one he's bringing for the fact that now he was inaugurated into a new position. So now he's like a regular kohen, just like a regular kohen when he's inaugurated and starts working in the Beis Mikdash, brings a minchas chinuch. The same thing, when he goes from being a kohen hedyot to being a kohen gadol, he brings a minchas chinuch. So on that day he's bringing 2.
Being anointed
and being...
Because there's two different things. The minchas chavitin is something that he's going to be bringing from now on every day. And as we learned previously in the Masechta, it's split up half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Then also for the fact that now he's on a higher level than he was before, he's bringing, as a first-time thing, he's bringing a minchas chinuch, which is brought all as one mincha together. It's made in the same way, it's a ruvucha, but unlike the minchas chavitin, it's not divided half in the morning and half in the afternoon, it's brought all at once. Yeah. Okay. Ma'abar Avashi, I'm a sholish. Ma'abar Avashi says he has to bring three. He has to bring three esrayim. And the Gemara says, v'loy tzvigi, they're not actually arguing, or chiste and ma'abar Avashi. It depends. Had the Ovid Avoida true Kohen Hedyot? Did this Kohen Gadol ever do Avoida when he was a Kohen Hedyot? In that case, he brought his original Minchas Chinuch when he first started serving in the Beis Mikdash. So now he only has to bring two more. No, that's the thing. In other words, there's three different things. There's a Minchas Chinuch that a person brings when he goes from not serving in the Beis Mikdash to serving. He goes when he went from Kohen Hedyot to Kohen Gadol. And another one, then there's a Minchas Chavitin that the Kohen Gadol is bringing every day. So there's three totals. So if he previously did Avoida, that's what Rav Chista is saying now when he becomes Kohen Gadol, that day he's bringing two Minochas that are Revocha. One as a one-time thing for a Minchas Chinuch, and one that's going to be from now on a daily thing, the Minchas Chavitin.
So there's three. Two is a one-time thing, and one is a permanent.
No, right. And the other one, Hod, the lawyer Ovid Avoida, true Kohen Hedyot. Ma'abar Avashi is talking about the case. Suppose you have a Kohen Gadol was appointed, where never before had he actually had the chance to do an Avoida, even as a Kohen Hedyot. It's possible. In theory, it's possible. So then, on the day he becomes Kohen Gadol, he has to bring three Minchas Chinuch. One for going from not doing the Avoida to doing the Avoida. Another one for going from being a Kohen Hedyot to being a Kohen Gadol. And a third one, Minchas Chavetin, which is going to be taking place every day. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Nizirus, so that holds, yeah. Okay. Then we said, Nizirus, Toya, Bahoyta, Bah, Shte, Yodas, Master, Shabbatoida. We said, a Nazir brings two-thirds of the amount of Master that comes with the Toida. So, Tana Rabbanon, we learn it of life. So how do we know that? When the Pasuk mentions about the dinim of the Toida, it says the expression, Shlomov, it says the expression that he brings the Korban, Alzeva, he brings the bread, Alzeva, Toida, Shlomov. So that extra word, l'rabbis, shalmei nazir, l'aseres kavim yerushalmiyot, that teaches us that also the shlomim of a nazir, you have to bring with them 10 kavim yerushalmiyot of flour that are made into matzis, or the revias shemen, and then you have the same revias of oil that's used, again, we said by the Torah, you have a half a log, which is divided as a revias for the revucha, and another revias for the chalos and the rikikin. Here, where Nazir is bringing only chalos and rikikin, no revucha, then he uses that revias for it. So we learn that it should be the same thing as the Torah. Yochol l'chol masha omobin. So you would think maybe that means that he has to bring everything that a person who brings a Torah brings. Maybe he has to bring all 40 loaves, 10 chametz and 30 matzah. Nope, Talmud Limer, Masters. Nope, therefore the Pasuk says, by the Nazir, Masters. The question is, you could have thought, once we're making a hekish between the Nazir and the Torah, maybe a Torah comes with 40 loaves, maybe the Nazir also has to come with 40 loaves.
Right.
And instead we're saying he only comes with 20. None of the Chametz and only two or three types of Masters. So Talmud Limer, Masters. Therefore the Pasuk says Masters. Now, my Talmud, how are we learning from the word Masters? In the Sukkim over there about the Nazir, it says the word Masas, the Sal Masas. So my Talmud, where do we get from the word Masas? Fine, it means that it's not the Chametz. How do we know it means not all three types of Masa? The answer is, Omar Papa means Dogo Sheneba by Masas. It means he only has to bring the two types that are mentioned by the Torah that are described as Masas. When you have, the Loshin by the Torah is like Chalis Masas, Gulos Vashemen, or a Kike Masis Meshuchim Vashemen, the Solus Merbeches Chalos Gulos Vashemen. And then you have flour, which is scalded, and which is brought as chalos mixed with oil. Now they do have to be Masis, it is true, but the Pasuk doesn't call them Masis. So if now, by the Nazir, the Torah, the Revocha doesn't call Masis, it does have to be Masis. It does call them Masis. So therefore, by the Nazir, it's saying the word Masis, it means only the ones that are described as Masis, which is chalos and Rekikin. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel taught it, and the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a different way to learn it. Master is klal, the word master is by the Nazir, is klal. Chal is the Rekikin Prat, and it says Chal is blot Vashemen, Rekikin Master, Meshuchim Vashomen. So therefore, that's a Prat. Klal is Prat, and the Klal, Alamash is Prat. So it means you only include in the Klal what's in the Prat. chalas erikikin ain, but only chalas erikikin. Midiachrin alois, don't include anything else because it only says those two for the prop. And you have no plow afterwards to re-include anything else. So that's it. That's how we know that the Nazir has only two of the three types of bread that come with the Torah.
We say in the morning, Chalupat and Yisrael.
That's what the Torah. Well, we don't spell it out, but that's what it means. Chalupat Prat means that's the rule. That's what the rule means. Ein Chalal L'Machal Prat. Right. It means that you. It means that, No. That would be Chalupat with Chal. It's Ka'ein Prat. That means that we put together a class of things that are somehow similar to the that are fairly similar to the Prat, and we say that's what the Chal means. Chalupat. No, we just say in davening. In morning davening, we just say kwal of prophets, we don't specify what those rules mean. But the meaning of them is that when you have a kwal of prophets, it means the kwal is meant to be limited only to the prophet. Which actually, you have a return.
When we talk about kwal of prophets, kwal, then you say
that. Yes. Then you include other things. And in fact, Tosfos points out over here, Tosfos brings an explanation that Rashbam would regularly explain. So in that case, then why does the Torah have to give us a klal at all? Just give us a prat. If anyway, it's limited only to the prat. He says, because if you didn't have that, you would think, okay, but it means not just the prat, maybe it means other things that are similar to it. Here, we would think you're going to learn from the Torah. So therefore, the Torah would have to give us a klal and then a prat, telling us you would think that it should be a klal. No, I'm telling you only the prat and nothing else. Don't think to include anything else.
But you just said that when you use a klal and then a prat, you could only take.
Then it means
that
only that prat. But that's the point.
To say it could mean other things.
If you didn't have the klal before it, then you would think to learn by a binyan av or something. But like this, the klal blocks that by telling you would think.
That.
It means only those things.
Okay. As opposed to the klal plus the klal, then.
Well, then you take other things that are similar to the prat. Okay. So the Mishnah says, "Hashoichet as a toida l'fnim." If a person shechs the toida inside the azara, like obviously you're supposed to, the lachma chutz l'chayma, but the bread that's supposed to be together with the toida is outside the wall. The bread is outside the wall, and we'll see in the Gemara which wall are we talking about. We're going to discuss the question, what is needed in order for the lachma toida to become kodesh and become part of the korban. And if they don't become Kurdish, then the person is not Yosef, and he has to bring another Kurdish. So, Hashoichet as a Toda l'fnim, if somebody shechs the Toda inside the Azara, the Lach Machut l'chayma, and the bread that's supposed to be with it is outside the wall, and we'll see in the Gemara whether that means the wall of the Azara, or the wall of Yerushalayim, or what. No, it wouldn't matter really. Loi kodesh halechem, the lechem does not become kodesh, and therefore the korban is not, he's not yotze the mitzvah of a Torah. The korban itself is kosher, you still continue with the avodah for the korban, but he's not yotze the Torah that he's supposed to be bringing. You have to bring another Torah and more challah.
No,
we didn't say that. No, we said you can bring the tzachim much later. In the Tzachim, you can bring days later. But the bread of the Torah has to be there when you're shechting it. Yeah. Okay, so again, we'll see in the Gemara.
The whole thing, you just keep the animal and you bring...
No, the animal's already been shechted.
It's
already been shechted. So today. So that means you're going to have to start with a new animal and new bread. Shechta, another din, shechta ad shalai koma paner b'taner, if you shechted the animal before the loaves have crusted over in the oven, so remember, you're baking the loaves in an oven, they start out as dough, and at some point, the top surface of it forms a crust. And then there you may have the inside of it. It's still doughy, but at least the outside is crusted. That's the minimum it needs to be in order to be considered bread in halacha. So like this, if it's not at that point yet, or even you had 39 of them have already started crusting over, but the 40th one not yet. Loi kadosh alechem, no good, the lechem is not kadosh, and the korban, and you have to start over. No, obviously, if the whole thing is baked through, that would be better. But in other words, the minimum for it to be considered, that it should be connected with the korban, is that it has to be quiz at the top. So you need both, in other words. You need it to be there, which there we're going to see now in the Gemara what that means. Does it mean inside the Azara, or does it mean inside the Yerushalayim? And it has to be baked to the minimum amount. Right. So the Gemara starts off, my chutzpah chayma, what do we mean outside the wall? Rabbi Yochanan of the chutzpah chayma is based pagi. Rabbi Yochanan says that it means if the bread was outside the wall of Beis Pagi. Now, Beis Pagi, Miyuchas Barashi on the top over here says, it's an area outside, that Beis Pagi, he says, is an area in the Harabai. So outside the wall of Beis Pagi, we mean outside the Harabai. regular Rashi on the bottom over here says, Rashi Ksavyad says that Beis Tagi is the wall of Yerushalayim. And in a number of other places, Rashi explains like this. The word Beis Tagi means like the reins of an animal, like the reins, the halter or whatever that's attached to the head of an animal. So therefore, in other words, it's like something attached to the animal. Similarly, Beis Tagi is like an area that's attached at the neck to Yerushalayim, but it's still within the walls of Yerushalayim. So at some place, I mean, at various times, Yerushalayim grew. We learned back in Shavuos that you have a whole ceremony that they can do over there, that the Sanhedrin and the Nasi, and the king and the Navi and whatever can do in order to extend the size of Yerushalayim. So at some point, there was some such area that was extended that they called Beis Tagi. Steinbelt brings an interesting idea on that, by the way. He says the Greek word phagi, that means to eat. We got the word esophagus from it and a number of other words in English. They said maybe Beis Tagi, maybe they called it that because it's a place where you're allowed to eat korbanos. Yeah. Anyway, whatever it is, but Rabbi Yochanan explains that as long as the bread is inside Beis Tagi, which again, according to Rashi, means someplace in the Harabayis, according to Rashi Saviyad and Rashi everywhere else in Shas, means someplace inside Yerushalayim, then you're good. It doesn't have to be in the Azara, but it has to be in there. Yeah. V'reshlokisham, v'chutzlachayim at Azara. V'reshlokish says, no, chutzlachayim of our Mishnah means outside the wall of the Azara. The bread has to be in the Azara when the korban is being shechted. So what's the reason? Because he says, but in an al the samuch. He says, since the pasuk says that you have to have in al toida yachiven, over here, al zeva atoida, etc., then you have to have al means the samuch. It has to be close by. So it has to be in the azar. He says, no, it's enough if it's in chaymach beis tagi. It's good enough even if it's outside the azara, as long as it's in Yerushalayim, because the lachmei toida and the toida itself can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. And he says, v'loivein and al b'samuch. We don't need, the word al doesn't necessarily have to mean that it has to be close by right there in the azara. As long as it's someplace in Yerushalayim, then you're good. As usual, when we have a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, and a shlokes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. So as long as the bread is someplace in Yerushalayim, inside the walls of Yerushalayim, then we're good. Okay.
Happy
Bake, right. Okay, so the question is, why do we need the machlokes over here? We have the exact same machlokes elsewhere in Shas. We have a mission like this. A mission in Tzachim says, Hashoich, you have like this. The Torah tells us, Chodazimna means one time. Like this. The Pasuk tells us in a couple of places, in Parshas Mishpatim, in Parshas Kisisa, the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to shech the Korban Pesach while you still have chometz in your possession. In fact, this is the Gemara mentions in Tzachim, this is one of the ways that we know that you have to get rid of chometz before 6 hours in the day, Midaraisa, because 6 hours in the day is the time when you can begin shechting the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says, if somebody shechs the Korban Pesach and he has chometz in his possession, over Beloisa said, and he's over on a Loisa said, that is the Loisa Shechata chometz Dam Zikri. Rabbi Yehuda says, not just the Korban Pesach, but also the Tomid Shalbein Ha'abayim of that day, of Erev Pesach, if he has chometz in his possession, then he's also over. The Gemara, Rashi brings over here briefly one. No, the afternoon Tomid. The morning Tomid, you still have chometz in your possession. But the afternoon Tomid, Rabbi Yehuda learns that when it says, Dam Zivchi, Zivchi means the Korban Tomid. It's beginning, the minute, okay, most of the time they would bring the Korban Tomid on a regular Erev Pesach, they checked it 7.5 hours into the day, finish offering it at 8.5 hours into the day, and then start with the Korban Pesach. If Erev Pesach was Erev Shabbos, and they need time to roast it before Shabbos, then they would move it up 1 hour. They'd start 6.5 hours and finish at 7.5. In principle, they could do beginning from 6 hours, but the Gemara says over there it's hard to tell exactly when noon comes, and if you do it before noon, then it's possible, so therefore they would wait a half hour to be sure that it's really afternoon. From Nesrael to Shachar, depends whether you follow the Magen Avraham or the Alpidem. Anyway, the point is that the Omer is Shlokish, and we have the same Machlokish between Rish Lakish, we have a Machlokish between Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish on a similar thing. The Omer is Shlokish, La'olam ein echayev, when he's only chayev, ab shiyehe oyla shoychet, oyla zorek, oyla echad min nechavura, imoy ba'azara, it has to be, to be over, it has to be the person who's shechting the korban, or the person who's sprinkling the korban, or one of the members of the group who's going to eat the korban pesach, has chometz, imoy ba'azara, right with him there in the azara.
The
chometz. Rabbi Yechon, if he has it in his home, Rish Lakish would hold he's not over. But if you're not with him in the Azara. The Pashkus, only if it's anywhere someplace else in Yerushalayim. So you have the same exact Machlokas. What do we need it over here? And again, they also have the expression Al, Lo Tishchat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi. So the Shlokish is holding Al means the Samoch, it has to be right there in the Azara to be over, and Rabbi Yechanan holds that not. The answer is Tzricha. We need both Machlokas then. If we only had the machlokas over there in Tzachim, you would say, Bahi, come, Rabbi Yechanan. You know why Rabbi Yechanan says he's over if he has chometz anywhere, even not in the Azara. Doesn't matter. The fact is, he's over on Bal Yerah or Bal Yamasa if he has the chometz anywhere in his possession. So therefore, it's logical. The Torah is also telling him, as long as you have chometz in your possession, no matter even if it's not in the Azara, you can't be involved with the Korban Pesach. Aval in Mekadesh Lechem, but as far as being Mekadesh for Lechem, where you don't have that consideration, there's no issue of being over on Bal Yerah or Bal Yamasa, Eima Modulei the Shlokish, so maybe you would think he agrees with the Shlokish, the E is the name, that only if the bread is actually in the Azara Kaddish, Avroi, but if it's outside the Azara Loi Kaddish, the E is my Baha, and on the other hand, if we only had a Machlokas here by the Torah, so we need Rabbi Yechanan to be telling us that he still disagrees with the Shlokish there. The E is my Baha, and on the other hand, if we only had all machlokas over here by the Lachmei Torah, you would say Baha ka'amur shlokish, only over here does the shlokish say it must be in the Azara. Abu Bahaf ain't a modular Rabbi Yechanan, but over there maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yechanan that the chometz can be anywhere in Yerushalayim, and he's still over because he's still over on Bal Yerah by Mata. So therefore we need both machlokas. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yechanan, we learn a braisa that goes according to Rav Yechanan, Hashoychet as a Torah lefnim, a person checks the Torah inside the Azara, the lach machut l'chomas beis tagi, and the bread is outside the wall of beis tagi, loy kodesh alechem, and the bread does not become kodesh, so we see clearly from that that it means that, the Mishnah just said chut l'chomas. It confirms Rav Yechanan that chut l'chomas means the wall of beis tagi. Then we said shachta shalikom upanei abatanur. We said if he shechted it before the bread started crusted, before the bread crusted over in the oven, we said it's no good. Menahani, really? How do we know that? The Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa when it says al chalos lechem chometz yachir korbanei al zevach. It says he has to bring the korban together with loaves of lechem chometz together with the korban al zevach. Means melamed she'ein al lechem kodesh. It means that the bread is not kodesh. Elim came, Korma Panea Batanur, unless it crusted over in the oven, because that's the minimum amount that it needs to be in order to be considered bread. Before that, it's not Lechem Chomet, it's Issa, it's dough. So for it to be considered Lechem, then it has to be Zebach Toidas, and from another thing we learned from that topic, when it says Al Zebach Toidas, that they become Kaddish with the shechting of the Toidah, Melamed, Shem Shachtem, Shalai Lishman, from that we learn that if you were to shecht the Korban, Shalai Lishma, like Kaddish Alechem, then Lechem would not become Kaddish. Again, as we learned in Zvachim, that the Korban itself would still be kosher, just the owner is not Yotze, and he has to bring another one.
If he doesn't check,
then he checks it. Shalai l'shman. The carbon is instead. Call us bachem shenidim b'chol shalai l'shman akasher. They don't count to the other. You still continue with the Kabbalah and the Zrika and everything. Just the owner is not yoyse. The owner also. The owner eats most of it. Kohen eats their part. But the order is that he wasn't yoyse. The Torah that he's supposed to buy. What? So okay, so we've discussed a number of times that you have a machlokas rishonim whether machshava involves actually saying it or just thinking it. So if it means saying it, then they hear him say it. If it means thinking it, then the kohen would have to inform them afterwards that he thought this. And you have actually a gemara in Gittin that discusses whether you have to believe him or not. So one of them is that it has to be Lashma, one of them is that it has to be, you have to have in mind the type of carbon. Another one is that it has to be Lashem Hashem, Lashem Ishim, Lashem the person, etc. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Since we're talking about this din, that the Lachmei Torah has to have developed a crust in order to be considered bread, so here's a similar din that applies in another place in Torah where we have to have Lachem. Turn it up, bottom, we learn in a Baisa. Yoytin the masa no, you can be yoytin on Pesach with masa that is no, meaning that's half baked, or with masa hasoya be'ilfos, you can also be yoytin with masa that was baked in a pan rather than being baked in an oven as usual. It has to be, by the way, it was baked in the pan, not fried there, so there's liquid over there, that's not bread. But here we're talking about where it was baked in a pan instead of being baked in an oven.
Right, yeah.
My masa na, so what does it mean half cooked masa? Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, kol shapersa ve'en chutin nimshachin himena. It means that if you were to break it, you wouldn't have threads of dough coming out. So that means based on, and Tosfos says that apparently that is the same shear as developing a crust. Once it's developed a crust, then even the inside of it is not going to be so doughy that you'll get threads when you break it.
You are going to get threads?
No, you won't. That's the point. Once it makes a crust, once you have a crust on top, on the outside crust, then it means the inside is also, it's not completely baked. It's still doughy, but it's not so doughy that it's going to, that it's not so doughy that it's going to come as threads. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Amar Rava, v'chein le'inyin lachmei toda. And Rava says the same thing as far as lachmei toda, that it has to be that, that you break them and threads don't come, of dough don't come out. So the question is, pshita, well obviously, hocha lechem tziv, hocha lechem tziv. Both of them are described as lechem in the Torah, lechem oini, lechem chometz, so obviously the same rules apply to both. The answer is, ma'u detema, echad amar achmona, fine, but you would argue, maybe with the Torah, you have to have it baked more than that. Because with masa, fine, it has to be edible, and so now it's lechem and it's edible. But when it comes to the Torah, we said before, echad amar achmona, that the Torah says you take one of each type and give it to the Kohen, meaning shalo yitol porus, meaning you're not allowed to take a broken one and give it to the Kohen. Vaha command the priest Adamya, you would think that if it's so soft, fine, you don't have threads coming out of it when you break it, but it's still, it's not completely baked, it's still very doughy inside. If you pick it up, it's going to break. But maybe therefore you're not allowed to. So it's considered as if it's broken. You can't do that. Kamash Malan, nevertheless, that's good enough. As long as you make sure when you're picking it up to give it to the Kohen, you make sure it doesn't break. Or maybe, I mean, we're talking about again, it only has to have reached that stage by the time you shechted the Kohen. Later on, by the time you get to giving them to the Kohen, it could have been fully baked. But that's good enough. As long as it reached the point that it can be considered lechem, we're not worried about the fact that once you pick it up, it can break. That is the
point.
So again, it has to be that it had a crust on top, which also therefore means that if you were to break one of them open, you wouldn't have threads of dough coming out. It would break cleanly, in other words. It would break more or less cleanly.
Okay.
So then in that case, that's considered baked enough for it to be considered lechem. It means when it comes to giving it to the Kohen, you have to be careful. It doesn't break before you're giving it to the Kohen. But at that
That's
not. So in the case of Masi Yosa, and in the case of Lachmei Toda, it's enough for them to become Kaddish.
In other words, it has to be crusted, but soft inside.
But it can still be soft inside as long as when you break it. That's the minimum. Obviously, it's fully baked. That's better.
Right. That's the minimum.
Okay. All right. Itzma. Now we have a discussion like this. We said that a Toda consists of 40 chalas. So what happens? Toda sheshachta v'ashmonim chalad. Suppose you shechted a korban toda, and there are 80 loaves of bread over there. So what happens? Chizkiah amar kodshu aboy metev shmonim. So Chizkiah says, okay, 40 out of the 80 become kodesh, and that's it. So you take 40 out of the 80.
40 or 80.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You can't have 80. You can't have 80, so therefore, kodshu aboy metev shmainim, so therefore 40 out of the 80 become kodesh, and therefore, so Rashi Ksavyad explains, what you do is, you have to treat all the 80 as if they have the kedusha of the Torah, because you're not going to know which ones are which, so therefore you have to eat all of them within a day and a night, like the Torah, and you have to eat them inside of Yerushalayim, and you have to be Tohar, etc. Tosfos points out another thing you would have to do when it comes to giving one of each type to the Kohen, you would have to give 11 of each type. Because if you give one, that one might be one of the ones that's not Kaddish. You give two, same problem. They might both be the ones that are not Kaddish. Three, four, et cetera. Only when you get 11, you have, then even if the first 10 you gave him are all the ones that are still Chulad, the 11th one will be Kaddish. So therefore you're covered. They have a similar brain teaser. They ask, for example, imagine you have a drawer with a bunch of black, with 10 black socks and 10 white socks. How many do you have to pull out in order to be sure that you'll have a pair of white socks? Same answer. You have to pull out 11, because if you pull out the first 10 that you pull out, my role, yes. So it's a similar idea. Okay. All right. So that's Chizkiah. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kodshu Aboy Metev Shmonim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, 40 out of the 80 do not become Kodesh. You have a posel of Korban over here. Okay. So the Gemara, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now it's like this. Let's analyze the Machlokes. HaKol Modim. Now everybody would agree. If he explicitly says, I want only 40 out of these 80 to become Kaddish, then fine, it's good, then Kodshu, then 40 of them become Kaddish, even Rav Yechanan will agree to that. Because then effectively what it is the other 40 are there for Achrayus, so as a backup in case the first 40 become positive. So he may have designated, he may have not, but whatever, according to the Rambam says, I'm fine. You can just pull 40 out of the 80 and consider them to be the Kaddish ones. That gets into the whole issue of Greda, actually, which, okay.
Why don't you give a default on that? You know that a Greda has to be 40, so by default it has to be 40.
No, but that's the thing. You have 80 over here, so if he says that 40 out of the 80, then it means he's only intending for 40 of them to be Kaddish, so therefore, good, 40 of them become one set. No, it's not so obvious. Wait. On the other hand, if he were to say, I don't want 40 of them to become Kaddish, it's all 80 of them or nothing, then Loi Kodshu, even Chizkiyah is going to say that 40 out of the 80 don't become Kaddish, because he explicitly said, he made it nice. I either want all 80 to be Kaddish or I want 0 to be Kaddish. Well, then you can't split the difference and say 40. He pliggy the stomach. The Machloikas is that he didn't say anything. What do we assume? So Reb Chizkiyah will say, when he brought 80, he doesn't mean that all 80 of them should become Kaddish. He knows that you can only have 40. So he has in mind, 40 of them are going to be for the Kaddish, and the other 40 are there for Achrayah, so backed up. And therefore, he doesn't intend for the other 40 to become Kaddish. Omar Sava, where's Rav Yeshanan, would hold the korban gadol kamachaven. Maybe what he has in mind, he thinks he's going to bring an extra large korban. He thinks that all 80 of them might become Kaddish. And they're not, because you can only have 40 of them Kaddish, so therefore it's no good. Okay. Abaya Omer. Abaya says that's not the explanation. Here's a different explanation of the Machlokes. Jekula Alma Lachrayis Kamachabin. Everybody would agree that he has in mind that the other one, that the other ones are for Achrayis. So Birkas Hazevach, the other 40, yeah, that are for Achrayis. Birkas Hazevach changes it to based on Rashi, that with Kulam with Korban Gadol Kamachavin, that no, everybody would agree that he intends to bring an extra large Korban. So in that case, according to Chizkiyah, why is it good? The Machlokas would be, over Chalei Sharis, Mekadjin, Shalanidas, Kamifidi. The Machlokas is, can Chalei Sharis, when you put something into them, can they be Mekadish without Das? So like this, if he has in mind for a big Korban, but here, can the Chalei Sharis be Mekadish, Shalanidas? Mar Sovar, Clay Sharis Makadishin Shalani Das. So therefore, Chizkiyah will hold. The Clay Sharis can be Makadish only what's Roy for them, even if the person didn't have the right Das. So even though he thought he's going to bring an extra good Korban, he's going to bring 80 instead of 40, the Clay Sharis are not going to go according to his Das. They're only going to be Makadish the 40 that has to be, and the other 40 will remain holding. Or Mar Sovar, because you only need 40. Yeah. Omar Sava, whereas Rabbi Yechanan will hold Clay Sharis and Makadish and Shalom Yidah, that no, they're going to be, they're only Makadish according to the Das of the person. The person has Das on 80. 80 doesn't work because a carbon Torah doesn't come with 80. Therefore it doesn't work. So in other words, all 80.
40 nothing.
Well, so it's 40, it's 80 or nothing. Right. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says, 80 or nothing, and since you have to have 40, then you don't have.
So it's zero.
Rav Papa says, here's a third explanation. Dekula alma klei sharis makadishin shalemi das. Everybody would agree that klei sharis can be makadish even without the person's das. V'hocha b'sakim comes to be. The machloikas rather would be, what is the knife? When you use the knife to shech the animal, what is that makadish? Marisov sakin makadish is klei sharis. The one opinion is that the sakin is makadish exactly like any other klei sharis. So if any other clay shardis are only Makadish, if we say that clay shardis Makadish and Shalomi Das, which would mean, in other words, therefore, that we would ignore his Das and say that the clay shardis that you put the chalice into is only going to be Makadish 40 of them, but does the knife have the same status? Chizkiyah is going to say yes, the knife has the same status as any other clay shardis, therefore it's only Makadish the 40. He had in mind an extra big curve and he had in mind 80. We don't care about his Das. The knife is only the Kaddish, what's the value for it, which is 40. Omar Sovar, whereas Rabbi Yechim is going to say, a knife is different than other clay shardis. Sakin, given the less clay shardis, since the knife doesn't have anything inside it, unlike regular clay shardis where you put the carbon inside it, Einem a Kaddish is a clay shardis, so it doesn't have the same rules as other clay shardis. Therefore, it can be Makadish everything that's there. So it would try to be Makadish 480. It can't, because you can't be Makadish 80, and therefore it ends up being Makadish 0.
Where do you get the notion that a sakin can makadish?
So the sakin is makadish when you shech sarbanis, it's makadish. And we said before that when does the lechem become kaddish? When you shech the carbon. Mind you, I mean, you have a machloket.
So it should be going only on the animal.
No, but that's the thing. No, but it goes on the lechem accompanies the animal. That's what we said. Once the animal is shechted, then the korban is miskadosh, then the lechem is miskadosh together with it. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying, most clay shard is fine. I can agree with you, Chizkiya. You put in too much, the clay shard is only miskadosh, what's wrong? But here, a sakin is different, he's going to say. I mean, you have, by the way, you have, we learned back in the Zochim, you have a machlokas, whether the knife even has to be a clay shard. If you say the knife doesn't have to be a clay shard, then the point is, when we shech the korban, does it drag in all 80 or does it drag in only 40? The Ikadamri, another version, or Papa Amar, the Kula Amar Clay Shardis and Makachin Amrigas. Another version is that a Papa will say both Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan will hold that Clay Shardis are only Makadish based on his Da'at. So therefore we should say if his Da'at is on all 80, then it should try to be Makadish all 80. But Bahacha, the second commissary, the Machloikas is the knife, what's the status of the knife compared to other Clay Shardis? Marsav, or Chizkiya will hold, second Alima Clay Shardis. Chizkiya will hold that a knife is even stronger than the clay shard. The apagav, the less clay shard, mekadsha, you see that even though it doesn't hold anything inside it, it still is capable of being mekadesh the korban. Therefore, he says, it also has the strength to also be mekadesh shalom midas, that it also has the strength that therefore we can ignore his das and say that it's only mekadesh 40 out of 80. Even though he said that he wants 80, because it's stronger than most clay shards. Yes. Because you see that it's able to be Makadish, even though unlike most clay shardas, it doesn't have a clay kibble, the same thing. It should be stronger as far as
But shouldn't be that absolutely also because it's a backend, so it should be Makadish all 80?
No, because that's what Chizkiya is saying. If it was a regular clay shardas, it would be Makadish all 80. But because it's a backend and it's stronger than other clay shardas, therefore it's also stronger as far as doing only 40 out of 80. Well, Marisava, Sakin, Lay Alimim, Lay Mekle Sharis, whereas Rabbi Yechanan is going to say, look, I agree with you, a knife is a clay sharis, fine, but you can't make it stronger than the other clay sharis. If the other clay sharis are Makadish Midas, and therefore his Das is significant, and he wants to be Makadish 80, and you can't be Makadish 80, the knife is going to do the same thing. It's going to be Makadish 80, and you can't be Makadish 80, so you're left with nothing.
You just see the Sakin is strong because if you don't, the Sakin is the one that makes the house closer, because the house
granted, that's true, but Rabbi Yochanan says that means, okay, so the knife has the same status as other clay shardas. All clay shardas are only Makadish what's Roy for them, and only what's inside the Azara, and so on and so forth. So the knife also, it's not going to be any stronger than that. We're not going to ignore his doubt.
Well, you can say that for the second for any covered, not only the covered.
Yeah.
Look, we don't have the guy has a family, he's coming to extend the family council, let's say, this way, and he has a gift.
Then let him bring two targets. One brings two toters, and each one will have 40 loaves, but he can't bring one toter with 80 loaves. That doesn't work. Again, according to Chizkiya, it would work. According to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, it's interesting. Usually, when you have a machlokas Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan, usually the halacha is like Chizkiya because he was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. And the usual rule is, until Abaye and Rava, the halacha is like the earlier opinion. Over here, I don't know why, I didn't look up to see why, but the Rambam passed like Rabbi Yochanan. That loy kodesh rabbi mekash shmeinim, unless he explicitly said that he wants only 40 of them to be kodesh, we're going to say that he's trying to be kodesh all 80 of them, and you can't, and therefore you've got to postal a carbon. Okay, so the end of it is, I mean, they'll eat the chalas, they don't have any kedusha, therefore they can eat them anywhere in the world they want, and he's going to have to bring another toyota with 40 chalas and do the right thing next time. Don't try to be an alcoholic, right? Don't try to bring more than you're supposed to. Yeah.